to EMP. Welcome. Let's turn to John chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 12 to 17. John chapter 15, verse 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Amen. We recently, our pastoral staff, about four of us together, we took a sort of a leadership personality exam. Some of you guys might be familiar with Fawcett 5. And one of the things that we kind of drew out of this experience was, or one of the things that I took away was, that there wasn't one type of leader, right? You think like, oh, this person has all the attributes or the qualities. You know, this person, you hear the term like a born leader. And as we were doing this test, we recognized that, our sister Chia was kind of leading us in this. But she said a very interesting thing. You know, there are all different types of leaders, and the key is to know what your weaknesses and what your strengths are, and then to be able to cater or to grow in those areas, or to surround yourself with people in situations where maybe you don't have specific gifts or sets in. And one of the interesting things about the Fawcett 5 test is they have kind of like a diagram to kind of show, you know, what areas. And so Pastor Sam and Ken had like this perfect square, right? You know, really like healthy, in my sense, like, oh man, these guys are like almost like really good, healthy leaders. And Pastor Nate and I, we had really funny looking diagrams, like, you know, big chunks missing and stuff and whatnot. But one thing, as we ended this kind of, session, you know, and I was thinking this all along, because, you know, for me, I thought at the first thought, you know, everything I lack, you know, Christ will make up. Everything that I'm weak in, Christ is my strength. But Pastor Sam graciously said at the end, and, you know, he was saying this to us, and this test doesn't take into account the work of the Holy Spirit, right? For all the things that we lack, you know, for all the attributes that the world looks at, you know, as a leader, right? The Holy Spirit, you know, firsthand account, and I'm sure for you as well, has led you in situations far beyond your ability. You know, I have been asked in numerous capacities, far beyond what I thought I was capable of doing, and completely face down and on my knees, literally crying and begging out to God, God, come and show up, because I don't have the ability. And sure enough, God will come and show up. You know, Pastor Samuel Song was teaching last weekend about the Israelites and Aaron and Moses, and how Aaron had, you know, fashioned the golden calf. And one of the things that really stuck out about what he said, or about what, you know, the text was saying, was this idea of a leader. And Pastor Sam didn't teach on it, but as he was speaking, it really spoke out to me. And this idea that Aaron, for a period of time, you know, however momentary, was in charge, right? He was responsible. And when I was thinking, you know, of the contrast between he and Moses. Now, when Moses had first started, you know, he wasn't necessarily, you could say, the best leader. You know, in situations or circumstances where he was pressed, you know, it's almost like if you take on his earlier beginnings or his heart, you know, he wanted to do something for Israel. Right, and so he saw two Israelites fighting or whatnot, and he tries to reconcile and say, "Hey, why are you guys are brothers? Why are you fighting?" And then one of them says, "Who are you? You're the one who slayed an Egyptian." And in his fear, right, and in his, you could say, early developmental stages, he totally fled. Right? Oh my gosh, word got out. But then we get into this position where Aaron is now in charge, and Moses is up on the mountain. And Aaron totally fails it. And this is the point I want to make this morning, right? You know, in terms of leadership, right? A good leader stands in the gap, right? A good leader or servant is someone who's willing to take a hit, someone who's willing to take a burden or a punishment that's not your own. And what I mean by that is Aaron totally, right? You know, you could say he's still growing or whatnot. He totally shied away, right? He totally did not take responsibility. What opportunity he had, if even just for a moment, he had an opportunity to say, yes, it was my responsibility. You know, Moses, I failed. You know, take it upon me, right? Take it upon my blood or take it upon my, you know, he could have offered something, but he totally relinquished himself from that responsibility. And so then you see here Moses, in a time and a season where God had nurtured him and brought him, is now able to, you know, recognize, you know, in relationship to God, recognizing that a price has to be paid, in relation to God, knowing that God is holy and just, and recognizing the wrath that could or is about to overcome on the people of Israel, right? He says, you guys stay, pray, repent, I'm going to go, right? I'm going to go to God. And as he's going, you can imagine, right? I got to bring something to the table, right? I know that my God is just and worthy. So, and he has this beautiful interaction. And like I said earlier, you know, you got to bring something to the table. Moses says, God, you know, blot my name out of the book, not the people of Israel, right? Moses was fully in a position recognizing the wrath or potential discipline that God was about to bring. And as a servant and as a leader, right, you know, in the Christian church, it's both, right? He was willing to stand in the gap. He was willing to go in between to the point, and I don't know where this transition happens, right? I don't know if it's like day 30 or, you know, year one or whatnot, but it's a process of you know, of small obedience, of increments. It's a process of seeing and recognizing God's heart, right? I think Moses, in relation to God and in intimacy, was able to see the heart of God and to recognize that God is also a merciful God, right? And that if you bring your heart genuinely before him, he sees that and he honors that. Okay, now, not to say that God still did judge. In fact, Moses, prior to going to God, understanding God's righteousness, actually had 3,000 members of Israel slaughtered that day, right? Brother against brother, against family, against friends, right? So just the severity of that. But the fact that, and the point that I'm making today is that Moses brought something to the table that he was willing to give. I've been reading this book recently. A friend of mine, he's a reporter, gave to me, and you know, we talk a lot, somewhat sometimes on politics and the war and whatnot. And so I've been reading this book. It's in some sense, it's a really terrible book. It's just about war, right? And all the ins and outs about war. And, you know, I'm like halfway through the book, and I'm still like, every other day I'm saying like, you know, why am I reading this, right? It's just junk. It's just like, you know, HBO candy, junk TV, right? And there's just, you know, these like 19, 20, 22-year-old, you know, punk American kids, right? You know, growing up on MTV and video games. And here they are out in, you know, in Iraq. And it's an account of the war in Iraq. And really, I'm watching this, and other than the gore and the action, not much to redeem from, you know, getting out of this. But there's this one particular account where the sergeant, he's the lead of an outfit, and high command gives an order, you know, we're going into hostile territory, and anything you see is a target, meaning you don't ask questions or you don't think about it. You just shoot first and you ask questions later. And, you know, rules of engagement. And a couple other, you know, commanding officers below that commanding officer wouldn't give that order. But one guy in the front who was the lead gave that order to his, you know, group of eight or whatnot in his car, in his Humvee. And so they go out, and sure enough, you know, first thing they see, they shoot, and it's an accident, right? They end up shooting a couple, you know, Iraqi kids. And so, you know, they storm the field and recognize that there's no hostiles here, right? That somebody messed up. And so the commander, the sergeant, goes to the front with the doctor, and the doctor is just reeling and angry. You know, who shot this kid? You know, I only saw two people shoot. I know who it is. You know, it's this private or whatnot. And the sergeant's there, and he's just broken, and he actually starts weeping and says, no, don't blame this on on you know the petty or the private soldier. It was my responsibility. And so the wrath or the heat or the judgment that was about to come, the sergeant totally took responsibility, totally put himself, whatever heat or blame or you know repercussions, he totally took it upon himself. And what was touching it, as you know, terrible or whatnot as his book was, you know, this guy, even towards the end of this account, he goes to the soldier that actually commits the account, right? And says, hey, no matter what anyone says, right, no matter what anyone brings or whatever looks you get, you just remember, okay, you're under my command and you're doing what I said to do. Totally covering, right, totally laying down himself to cover another brother, you could say. So let's bow our heads this morning. And just a very simple meditation this morning. You know, whether we're in a position of leadership or whether we're just, you know, serving in some capacity or in the workplace even, or, you know, whether here in our church context, in our family, or whether in the workplace, you know, are we in a position, right, are we willing to take a hit? Right? Are we willing to stand in the gap? Right? Are we willing to take upon a burden on ourselves that really isn't ours in some sense? Right? So just meditate on that today. You know, what cost, at what you know, trouble to yourself, are you willing to reconcile another man, another woman's heart to God? You know, this is a key. This is critical in our faith, because this is what our Lord Jesus Christ does, what he did. Right? He stands in the gap. He takes upon himself, you know, the blunt of a wrath, you know, the requirements of righteousness that he had already fulfilled, but that we had not, and he takes it upon himself. In church, that's how people get saved. When non-believers see believers standing in the gap, taking a hit, or a burden and making it their own. So let's just focus on that this morning as Hannah leads us in a song of worship.
And I
our first prayer point this morning. Let's just lift up our retreat coming up in a couple weeks. And let me tell you what's going to happen at the retreat. Right? Men and women of God are going to break and come near to God. They're going to have an encounter and experience. Men and women who have yet to put their faith in God are going to put their faith in God for the first time, and the Holy Spirit's going to come. And so we have this great expectation, right? An encounter and experience, and we're going to celebrate with God. But we have 2 weeks to really sow in prayer and to really commit ourselves and stand in the gap on behalf of those who are unable to stand in the gap in this season, in this time. And so just a sense that I got, you know, some of us, you know, we might be struggling with, you know, with certain things or not. And God might be calling us into a fast, right? To lay something down, something of worth, something of cost of value for just a season, maybe a couple weeks. Any distractions, any things that you might have thought, maybe, maybe not, you know, the Holy Spirit might be prompting. And so I just challenge you today, just enter a fast for a couple weeks and lay it down before the Lord, right? Not because we have to, not because we're obligated or because it's some kind of punishment, but because we're so excited and have such expectation of what God is to bring on us and on our church and for those who need it the most. So let's just pray. Let's just cover our retreat. Let's pray for Nansha, that God would just bring covering over that place, that His presence would go before us, and that it would be declared holy ground as we prepare our hearts. Pray for Dan Sneed, our guest speaker. Pray for all the activities and functions. Pray for our you know, all the worship team, you know, the leaders, the praise sets, the media, just, you know, the Sunday school teachers, the children that we want to bless, just blow their socks off. Just every detail, our whole camp, right? Our people, SP, we're going, right? One goal, one purpose. Right, to see the face of God. So let's just pray and cover our retreat and our leaders and Pastor Sam. Let's pray. Second, let's pray for our house church meetings this week, that God would just come and show up and just really speak a word of conviction, right? You know, from the messages that was given on Sunday, right? That hearts would draw near. So just pray for our house church meetings, that God would come and dwell and meet and really just encourage people to come to the retreat who haven't yet signed up. You know, whatever strongholds, whatever the enemy is scheming, whatever schedules and whatnot. So let's just pray covering over our meetings this week. Father, we just thank you, God, once again for this morning, and God, for the awesome reminder, God, that you're still raising us up, you're still growing in us. And Father, we thank you, God, that for all that we are not, that we have eternal hope in all that you are and in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the perfect example, Lord, that you've taken upon a burden that wasn't your own, God, that you bore, Lord, that you bore it on your back, Jesus, and you stand in the gap, God, so that we wouldn't receive the full wrath and judgment of our heavenly and holy Father. And in this faith, Lord God, we come to you every day, God, every trip up, every stumble, every, you know, thing that we don't do right, Lord, and we come before you in faith, God, complete faith that you forgive and that you love, because you did it all on the cross. So, Lord, let us walk out of this place with that same heart, that same mindset. God, if we've forgotten or if things have, you know, come to the surface and we've, you know, haven't prioritized, Lord God, we reprioritize today. God, Lord, we make a recommitment, Lord, this morning. And God, we give you ourselves. God, we give you our best. And God, use us today, God, to be a blessing, to be a testimony, to be a witness of what it means, Lord God, to take a hit on behalf of another, to cover another, to bless another, to stand in the gap, Lord God, and to reconcile people to you in the way we live. Father, we thank you, Lord. Bless your name. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day.